Well, then I'd say let's get started. And again, thank you so much for joining me here because that's a super interesting topic. Brand journalism on Medium is actually something that I never thought of until you first told me that you're doing it.
Oh, that's all I do. Yeah, that's it.
I guess we talked about it like a month ago or so for the
Yeah.
first time, or even longer ago. And you told me that you're doing brand journalism, which I never thought of. And now I kind of got these requests from brands. And the first person that I thought of was you because I knew that you were into this and that you know what you're doing there.
Oh, that's great. There's a massive demand for it. So I get emails all the time of companies. They just kind of see old articles or they find me online somehow. And they're like, yeah, you do this specific thing that we're looking for. We can't find people like you. And so, and then
Crazy.
they, so they book, you know, I have this template or this online type form and they fill that out. And that's how the conversation starts.
Yeah, it's crazy because that really sounds crazy to me. And maybe, some time ago, I would not have believed that, but it happened the exact same way to me. So some brands reached out to me asking if I want to collaborate. And maybe for those who don't know what brand journalism is at all, maybe you want to give a brief overview of what you're doing and what the core of what you're doing is.
Yeah, so what brand journalism is it's one part of journalism, so ethical journalism, and then you add in just a little sliver of branding. It's very slight, it's very subtle, okay? And then you add a big piece of storytelling. So it's mainly storytelling and journalism. There are some people that think, oh, that term doesn't exist. But in my world, it does because I think readers are tired of getting these clickbaity articles from companies, from brands that shamelessly self-promote their stuff. I think they want real, authentic stories in the world, and you lightly connect that to the brand. So companies like Patagonia, Red Bull, John Deere, all these companies have hired journalists, and then they just train them in the commercial writing business way. And so that's what I do. I don't do short articles. All my articles are over 2,500 words. Sometimes they're epic articles. And I charge $1,500 an article to start. If I rank them in Google to page one within a few months, I earn a performance bonus of $1,500. And it declines from there if it takes me several more months, like down to like $500. So people that are new writers that are kind of interested in this, they can start off taking your course, going from beginner to intermediate to maybe even advanced. And getting really good at writing because no one would ever hire a brand journalist that just kind of started, right? They need to be a good writer. And if you've been writing for a while, you can get there in a matter of weeks, okay? What I can, if you're a decent writer, I can get you there within a matter of weeks. So they take your course and then they become good at writing. And then they got to learn the little things that I do that make it brand journalism. And if they get really good at that, and master the article SEO, they can make amazing money. So I'm talking $3,000 an article. Okay. 50 to 70% of the time, I make that performance bonus and rank them in Google for their keyword. And so 50 to 70% of the time, I make $3,000 an article. So you do the math. How many articles would I have to do a month to live all right? Okay. When I'm bored, I write on Medium, but mainly I do articles. Mainly I do brand journalism articles. Yeah.
And for me, the interesting part is, so when I first got into touch with that, I had to, realize that this is actually super valuable, not only for the brands, but also for readers. Because at first, when you hear that somebody's writing for brands, you just think of typical advertising type of posts.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is what you already mentioned, is it's packed into a story. And I guess you and also I wouldn't work with companies that don't have something to tell. And it's, for me, it's super interesting actually to tell the story of companies that do succeed and that do something very well, where new brands, new companies, or even people can benefit from. So that's actually super cool. And it's fun for me. It's a super interesting new field, and it's super fun to dive deeper into these brands and understand what they're doing and why they are succeeding. Because, you know, if they can hire you for 3K per post, they're obviously having a budget and doing some things right.
Yeah. So you mentioned something really interesting there about brands and them having a story. So I turn down a lot of people because they don't have a story, or at least a story that I can write. So if their company is like a little bit too new, only like a few years old, maybe they're making fantastic revenue, but they just don't have a compelling story. I will say, well, I just don't see a story for myself that I could write about you. So maybe circle back around once you've done something else, or you can try somebody else. But I have had people contact me and say, yeah, you know, write a story about me. And I'm like, well, the best story is you're not the hero. The brand ain't the hero. Yeah. The customer is the hero. The product could be the hero. Like Patagonia, they go to exotic locations and they'll follow, the story will be from a real hiker. They don't even work there. They're like a real hiker. And Patagonia happens to be their outfitter. And that's all the branding they need. They nowhere in any Patagonia article will you ever see backpacks by Patagonia or fleece by Patagonia. Yeah. You just get that little icon in the corner of the website. That's their logo. And that's it. They don't even mention the brand in the entire article. Yeah. And people might think that's counterproductive. Like, you know, you should be like constantly selling them stuff. Not really. Not really. That's not how it's done. And so... Yeah. Brands that get that, they understand like that journalistic aspect of journalism and the storytelling there. And like I said earlier, I think people are kind of tired of just constantly getting sold to. Yep. There's a guy in Medium that does this brilliantly. I can't say his name. I don't know his name, but he's the CEO of Jotform. So if you want a great example, you're a Medium writer with Sinem here, find the Jotform company CEO. He writes... He owns a multi-million-dollar SaaS company, a tech company for productivity, it's for forms. Mm-hmm. And he writes about productivity and saving time and all that. And it has nothing to do with the form, which is his company. But at the end, he just puts, you know, previously published on Jotform blog. And so what makes that valuable is that even if it was never connected to a brand, people would benefit from learning about time management, right? Mm-hmm. And so him just saying at the bottom that he's a CEO of this company is all the branding he needs. He doesn't need to say at the end, get your freemium 2-week trial now, limited supplies. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even need to do that. And people don't want to hear that. And plus, the thing with Medium, if you decide to publish on Medium, because I publish everywhere, every magazine, but if you decide to go with Medium, they have a very anti-ad stance. So there are certain things you got to do. You have to, you know, basically look at the rules, but then there's like extended rules for people that promote, and they do allow promotion, first party promotion for sure. But you know, you can't go heavy on it. So I believe that brand journalism is a higher, pure form of writing because it's so strict with, like I speak now, the FTC rules, government rules, they're so strict on consumer transparency that you can't write spammy clickbaity stuff if you wanted to, because it'd be legal.
Yeah.
Right. And so at the very top of my articles, you have the hero image, and in it, right under, you give the photo credit, and right next to that, it says branded content. And then it has a backlink, and that's in bold, and it has a backlink to my website where I go through the full disclosure saying this is paid content, company paid me for this. I believe in ethical journalism and all that sort of thing. But right up front, you say it. And if you didn't do that, you'd be violating FTC rules. But what I've noticed is people don't really care. People don't care that it's branded content or sponsored content or any of that.
As long as it's good.
If it's a great story, it will get traffic and people will share it and the company will be happy.
But how did you actually start out? So have your beginnings been on Medium, or did you do it anywhere else before, because maybe we can touch on the point that Medium is actually a really great place to do branded journalism, especially if your partners want to rank on Google, because the Medium has such a high domain authority and ranking pieces. If you have a clear targeted keyword, is maybe easier than anywhere else on the web.
Yeah, so, remind me to circle back to the second part of that question. I might forget. but the first part is
how did you start?
About brands publishing on Medium. Yeah. They're both fantastic questions. It's just the first one I'm a little long-winded on. But how I started, it was a total accident.
Okay.
It was a total accident. I had taken this fantastic course on social media marketing agencies by Iman Ghazi. And Iman was like this high school dropout that ended up making, like, I don't even know what he makes now, like $100,000 a month just on social media ads, like Facebook ads. Brilliant businessman. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take this guy's course. I'll learn from this youngster. And it cost me $1,000. And so I took it and I rushed through it. I put the, you know, the play button, how you can put ramp up the speed, that's like 2x. I listened to it like that. And at the end, I really did digest the knowledge. And I didn't feel ripped off. I felt like I ripped myself off. Like, I bought this expensive course and I can't go out there and create this business. And so I retook it. Took me several weeks. I retook it and applied everything that Iman says. And I got my first few clients. And if you know SMMA clients, they're like $2,000 to $5,000 retainers. So all you need is a few clients. So I was like living great. I was like, wow, this is fantastic. What he taught actually works. So I just wrote him and I said, listen, I just took your course and I enjoyed the Facebook group and I'm enjoying my clients right now. And I have this interesting skill set. I would just love to write my journey, my story. Can I get your blessing? And I'll write it on Medium. I'll put it in the startup. We'll get massive traction. And he's like, yeah, go for it. And so I did. I wrote it. And that article went through the roof. Not only did it rank on Google for SMMA, but it got a lot of traction as well. And so I was like, wow, there's something here. Prior to that, I'd learned SEO. I had taken it for like 5 or 6 years. I'd ranked websites and affiliate sites and made some money off of that. And I just kind of applied a little bit of that to the article. And you don't need to do a whole lot of the SEO with articles on Medium, because Medium takes care of all the technical stuff. So people are like, oh, search engine optimization, that's really daunting. Yeah. But the reality is you don't need to learn a whole lot of SEO to make your articles rank. And so I tested out another word and I tested out another keyword that was desirable and they all ranked. And because Medium, in many cases, not all, but in many cases, Medium has a do follow backlink, which is what you want. You don't want a no follow backlink. So if you have a link that goes from Medium to a brand, it helps that brand's website boost up. That's a do follow. And it always has a high domain authority, meaning it has the structure, the status of being a quality site. Mm-hmm. And out of 100, it ranks, I think it's like 95, has a score of 95 out of 100. Yeah. And say like a site like Google or Facebook or Twitter would be 100. And so it has the superpower in its domain authority.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to write for the New York Times, which has 95 out of 100 as well, you'd have to be a reporter or do something fantastic. They don't let people write for the New York Times, but anybody could write for Medium. And so that's the beauty of it all, is you're already starting. There's like 200 signals that Google looks at in its algorithm to rank, but domain authority is the unofficial heavyweight.
Yeah,
it's not an official signal, but they definitely use it. And if you can start at a high domain authority with a story, you've already got a boost.
Yeah.
And if the story is remarkable, you know, people gone through your course, they know how to write well, there's a good story there, boom.
Yeah.
There are brands and companies that don't know how to do that. And I'm talking about, I have a company right now that I'm working with, AJ and Smart. They're out of Berlin. They're a consulting company. They have 40, 50 people in their company, and they have several people in the marketing department, but they knock on my door when they need long form content and somebody else besides them to do it. Cause then it sounds like, you know, they're just talking about themselves the whole time. So they have a third party do it. And then I put them on Medium, and that's how it works. Yeah. Or if they wanted a boost in their own blog, I would put it on their own blog and then later on put it on Medium, importing it, making sure not to have the duplicate content penalty, importing that story into Medium.
So. That's actually super interesting. And what might also be interesting for the viewers is something that happened to me last week, actually, is that, you know, you can write articles for a brand so that it's really about the brand. But what I also realized that many brands want is just being included in a post. So if you're, for example, talking about productivity tools, that a certain company providing a productivity tool wants you to mention them in that post. And something similar to that happened to me last week. So one of my posts, so it was actually about social media and one platform in particular. And a brand reached out to me asking if I could include them in a post that I have already published, like, I don't know, 2 months ago. But it is ranked high on Google, so they want me to add them to the post. So just, you know, extend the post. And that's... you know, that's probably going to take me like 15 minutes. And if it's a cool tool, then it's also super valuable for the readers because, you know, it's probably something that I didn't know at the time of writing the post. Maybe I would have included it anyway if it's a cool tool. And now you're even getting paid for that. So that's
something. Did you end up doing that? Did you do that for them or?
Yeah, I decided to do it. So I'm in the process of finalizing right now.
So what I would do is charge them an obscene amount of money for that, charge them a lot of money for it. And then at the very top under the hero image, you'd have to put your disclosure. You'd have you put your disclosure, say that there's an affiliate link here, whatever it is, or if it's just, you know, paid content, and track that link in Bitly, you know, bit.ly. Cause that's what I'd done with Amon's course is I basically, he has a course, and like the highest thing that converts with the course is the free webinar. Mm-hmm. Send somebody a free webinar and then they're in their funnel. And then they, you know, at the end of the webinar, they can buy the course for like 20% off. That's like the number one way to get people in your course. So I said, well, let's write this article, send massive amount of people to this webinar. I'll cloak that link in Bitly. And then a few weeks, I'll tell you how many people sent. I sent that guy like 700 clicks to his site. And he told me, he called me up and he said, this is after like a few months, I'd sent him like over 2000 hits of highly targeted, cause it's in a startup, which is very entrepreneurial and they have money. Like that's like the best demographic ever. Right. And so he called me up and I go, yeah, maybe we should reconsider my pay, because he offered me an affiliate program. He said he'd create one for me because the other article did so well. And instead he paid me, you know, $1,500 or whatever it was. And that was it. We're done with it. But we were looking at, I think it was like after like month two, because the rate that that landing page converts at, I would have made over $60,000 in affiliate income. One article worth $60,000. So in the future, I might consider it. But even so, I told him, I said, you know, I read these course reviews all the time, and people write a long post on how wonderful it is, and they'll say one bad thing. And at the end, here's the affiliate link if you want to buy it now. So I thought that was a bit unethical. It just wasn't my style. And I said, it would be more honest if I just said, I'm not an affiliate at the top, that I'm not getting an affiliate income, and people would believe me more and all that. And so we just went with it. So because I did that and basically turned down whatever $60,000, he had sent me a bunch of referrals. He had sent me my biggest client. Mm-hmm. And then I did a wonderful job for them, and I ranked them the number one on page one on Google, and they sent me clients. And now I've never had to advertise ever for my services, and people just contact me Or I call them up after, you know, 3 months and say, hey, I just sent you 3,000 hits. Your page converts at 3% and your product is $1,000. So let's play ball. Let's do this again. Yeah. And that's basically what I do. And they love getting those performance reviews because they know that I've paid for myself like 20x every time I call them. You see what I'm saying? So writing a great article, you know, you take a good writing course, you're an intermediate to an advanced writer, writing a great article is like part of it. Another part of it is article SEO. And that's something that you'll learn in time, but I use that as a performance bonus. I get $1,500 if I rank them on page one within a certain amount of time, but I don't always do that. And that's why it's a performance bonus. Sometimes the words are too competitive or something happens, but there's a third missing part there. And it's that most, I'd say 95% of the writers I talk to totally miss this. They do this thing where they publish and pray. Okay. When I launch an article, it's exactly like I'm launching a big product. People do not get that.
How do you do that?
So it's not like I'm going to tweet it, I'm going to put it on LinkedIn. Like, yeah, you do those things. That's like kind of a no-brainer. But I leverage certain what I call multipliers. So if they have a big email list, I'm going to say, great. So there's this one client. He just published this book. And I said, great. How many people are on email list? He said like 10,000. I'm like, I'm going to ROI this article in like 10 minutes. You watch. So what I did is I wrote the email form saying, hey, we're launching this article. Please read it. If you like it, clap it. You don't have to. If you want to write a response, you don't have to. You telling them that you must clap and you must comment, by the way, is against Medium's rules, manipulation. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that's part of the contest. But at the end, I say, you know, I'm having a contest. I say, you know, if you read it and you bookmark it or whatever, or we will take random out of this email list, somebody who wins that book, right? And a, say, 1 hour free coaching consult with the president or whatever. So it's valued at whatever, $400, and then they can get a free book. And so they're, that email list, which is segmented to people who have never bought before, it's a segmented email list. So maybe out of like 10,000, maybe only like maybe 7,000 are being hit. They will help that article go viral. You know, maybe the contest is just that they got to tweet the article, which isn't against any Medium rules. They tweet the article out, get out in the social, Google picks up on it and it starts ranking. Okay. So, people that love the client, or you know, tribes that love the client so much, they will end up clapping it anyways.
Yeah.
They'll end up commenting anyways. So when I launched one of Iman's articles, like in 1 day, it got 8,000 claps. And it 29 responses in 1 day.
That's crazy.
And we didn't incentivize like anybody to do that. We just said, you know, if this is what you're into, go ahead, clap it up. But we just wanted them to share it with somebody. And, you know, that's great all around. So I have six multipliers. That's just one of them. I have this course that I teach called Six-Figure Freelance Writer. And I teach all six, and you can flat out fail on half of those and your article will still go semi-viral.
But
so it's like kind of like safety nets.
Yeah. What do you feel is the most important for your clients? Like is every client that reaches out to you eager to rank on Google, or are there other goals that they sometimes want to reach?
Yeah. I've had clients that, you know, I tell them about my performance bonus and they're like, I don't care if I rank on Google.
Yeah, because like, because wait. I also had that feeling.
Like you should want to, because that would equal more,
yeah,
you know, more clients. And they're like, if we rank for this keyword, great. If not, so I'm not going to meet my performance bonus if I go with that person. But what they want, and I'll tell you their biggest mistake too. What they want the most is to get them to get a sale out of it. So they become part of their email nurture sequence somehow. Like maybe you do a lead magnet at the end of the article and you send them something free. And then over time, they end up buying something. Okay. And I can't say that my article equaled that sale unless it was like a landing page directly to that product. Usually there's a lot of other marketing involved. They've seen the message 3 or 5, 10 times. And when it's buying time, they end up buying it. So I'm like 1% of Iman's marketing, because he's so brilliant at marketing, but it's a very strong 1%. Yeah. So, but where clients really mess up, and I hate having this conversation, but I got to tell them the truth. They want a miracle article sometimes. They want me to write a 4,000 word article, and it's so magnificent that at the end, all I got to do is put a link to the buy now button, and then the money starts printing, right? Yeah. And I said, I've never seen an article that compelling. I've never seen an essay that compelling. So I have to train them on funnels and customer journey and all that. And I'm saying, you know, you have to have like 5-7 different touch points if you have a very expensive product. So a lot of my clients have product from $500 to $1,000. And so that's not, you can't obtain that by throwing out a single Facebook ad or a single article. That's a nurture sequence, that's a funnel. And so I have to train them in that way. And if they do not have a funnel, I charge them to build that funnel.
Okay, that's super interesting. So you also upsell them during the process.
Oh yeah. If they have a really weak blog, I'd say, you know, you're going to hire me for your epic articles, but you need like, you know, 5 to 15 other articles on your site that are kind of like smaller stature. And I'll say, yeah, you need to have that for Google to recognize you. And so there's an opportunity for me to outsource that to somebody else, hire a writer for whatever, 20 cents a word, or I can do it myself. But I'm trying to like build up, because people only call me when they need these epic posts. And that's why, you know, they should go through your course, become a great writer, become skilled at it. So a 1500 word article is like no problem for them. Because when you start playing on my field, I only write articles north of 2000 words, but they're usually around like 3,000 to 5,000 words. Yeah, I think I'm averaging like 3,500 words. Because it takes that much time to tell the authentic story and have fun with that. And you don't do that every week, even every month. The schedule that I do is companies hire me quarterly or bi-monthly.
Okay.
Like every other month, because I'm trying to launch this thing like a product. And so you can't tease that audience every single time with this thing. Like they'll basically get fatigue, you know, launch fatigue. If you're always launching these things like that.
And so what you're doing is already pretty advanced, and you're charging premium prices for your writing. And you already mentioned that this is not something that a beginner writer would do, and companies would not hire you if your messages and your writing is not somehow on point. But how good do you think you need to be to get started? And what do you think a beginner can charge? Or so if you're an okay writer and, you know, your writing is on point, but you've never done it before, what's an equal amount that you think would be okay to charge for a beginner?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've never been in Fast Company. I've never been published in Wall Street Journal. I've never won any writing award. Probably never will win the Pulitzer Prize. Like, I'm not saying you have to be super professional journalist or whatever. If you had taken a college writing course, okay, a basic graduate college writing course, and you loved it, okay, I think that the transition to commercial writing would be easy. Even if you've never commercially published anything at all, you'd have the chops, the skill set to do it, okay? But it helps if you have a background and you've written on maybe Medium and got curated, because if you're curated on Medium, that says that you have a good quality writing. Okay. So that could be like your first milestone. And the other part is clients pay for results.
Yeah.
You can come out of nowhere, learn the craft and rank a few articles and all that. And you just show them that portfolio, and they don't even care how many years that you've had under your belt. If you can prove these results, then that's what they're paying for. You can either rank them, or, you know, you use my launch sequence to get them results. And I've published stuff that maybe is not my best work. I'm not the most proud of, because I was really reaching for the story. But because of my launch sequence and my different multipliers, it got the clients massive results. And they were very happy. And so I say, once you build your portfolio, and you got some really good results that clients care about, like shares, comments, upvotes or whatever, or Bitly, you know, using Bitly, sending at least like 500 to 1,000 hits to a very specific website tracked. Mm-hmm. If you can prove that in a portfolio and you've done it 2-3 times, minimum, I'd charge like 800, maybe 700 bucks. Even if you've only written for a couple months, like you've already, see what, if you can do that with an article, you have a superpower. Mm. If you can do article SEO, that's another superpower. If you can rank articles, and there are people that, like I was saying earlier, that have in-house marketing departments that cannot do that. They don't understand that, or it's just too much for them and they want you to do it. They'll pay you to do it. That's the case half the time as well. But yeah, I mean, if you built up that portfolio and you have results, I'd say like around $800. My first article, I went from zero to $1,000. I worked on writing for 2 years, didn't charge anything. Collected a bunch of little logos to say I was published in these different places just for social proof, all for free, pro bono, guest posting, right? And then the first time somebody said, yeah, what's that cost? I just very confidently said $1,000. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I'm going to make that back for you within like a week or less.
Yeah.
And I made that back for them in a day. And I said, okay, so from here on out, it's going to be pure profit. And then I had these case studies where someone had made over $40,000 from one of my articles. And I charged them a measly $2,000. So I asked them, would you trade $2,000 for $40,000? They said, I'll do that all day. Sign me up. And so what I like about what you teach and others is that you're building that portfolio. You're building your body of work and you're tracking that. Once you have that portfolio, though, you can shop it around and people will be happy to hire you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that there's this big middle of writers. There's like brand new beginners, which is probably the majority. And then there's this middle section of writers' skill set. And that's pretty wide as well. And then there's like this top 10%, and the air is staying up there. And then, you know, people are super great, like that 1%. A lot of the writers that are stuck in the middle can easily get to this 10% where they're charging $3,000 to $5,000 for an article. I mean, if they just knew that skill set that is commercially viable, if they did what I was doing, because I was blown away when someone asked me that as well. They're like, you know, we can only pay you $4,000 for this. I practically dropped my drink. I was like, I've never charged $4,000 for an article. And you're telling me what you're paying. I was like blown away. Cause like I said, at least a couple times a week, people are writing me saying, we need a person that does this. We can't find that person. On your LinkedIn, it says brand journalist. That's exactly what we want. You know, and people are trying to tell me that the term brand journalism is dead or it's useless or whatever.
Not really.
I'm turning down people and giving those clients to my students. So,
yeah, that's crazy. It's really crazy how there is such a huge demand, and it's also the same for me. I didn't realize there is this demand until we talked and until the first company started reaching out to me. Yeah. So it's something that somehow happens behind the curtains, and if you don't, and you know, if you're always aiming to get curated on Medium and to write about what you want to write, you don't see these opportunities. But if you are serious about, you know, making a full-time writing, then this type of writing is probably, you know, the most effective one. And actually it's a type of writing that allows you to detach your results from an algorithm somehow, at least. I mean, SEO, that's still an algorithm, but at least you can, if you have a client paying you $1,000 for the beginning and you write, you know, for a few companies like that, you already have a baseline of income from writing, which is pretty awesome. And that's something I guess a lot of writers would love to have.
Yeah. Oh, I want to mention something about that too, is that a lot of people that come to me, they say, Peyton, I hate sales.
Yeah.
And I say, I hate it too. If you have a good portfolio though, there's like no selling.
Yeah.
Well, I get on a discovery call with them. At the end, I answer the questions. They always ask me how much does this cost, and I tell them. But I'm telling them about the results, and I'm showing them portfolio. And it's that same conversation. It's like, yeah, I got this person X amount. Their last five people, I got them X amount of visits. It converted at this rate, whatever, 2-3%. And it theoretically amounted to this amount of money. And I've done that in my last five articles. And so if your product is great too, you could probably get the same results. And so I'm probably terrible at sales, but they're seeing that this is a really tangible result. And in the world of marketing, they like to use that word impressions. How many impressions did you make? That is the most gray area BS thing I've ever heard in my life. Like Red Bull throws this big party and all that. And they said, oh, we just made 1 million impressions. I'm like, yeah, for the guy that only makes, less than $1 million a year, that owns this company, that's hiring me to do the article, they want actual sales and numbers and, that sort of thing. And so they can relate to what I do. Mm. So if I were like a newer writer, intermediate or newer writer, and I was writing on Medium, I would start cloaking some links in Bitly, bit.ly. If you're gonna, even if it's like not a brand, like say you link to Wikipedia, right? Cloak that Wikipedia article in Bitly and then come back to it a few weeks later and see how many hits you got. Mm. And you can, and it will show you like metrics like, oh, 1,000 people hit this site or whatever. Cause when I ranked for a very competitive keyword, so I ranked top 10, I'm number 10 now, but I started up at number 4. I haven't touched it in 2 years. It'll probably be on page 2 by the time this conversation is over, but I ranked a very difficult keyword and page 1. Swing trading, you can Google it right now, swing trading, like stocks, and it was a Medium article, okay, for fun. No one paid me for that. It was my journey, right? And I cloaked all the Bitly links, or I cloaked all the websites in Bitly, and there are companies that I didn't work for that didn't pay me, and there's this one called like Swing Trade Bot. I took it off, but it was like Swing Trade Bot, and I had sent that over 3,000 links or 3,000 clicks, the software program, 3,000. So yeah, they couldn't buy that kind of publicity.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. You can kind of experiment with, prove that if your article is getting traction, that there is like tangible metrics and people will pay for that.
That's probably also the most important point as we're getting to the end of the conversation. I feel like people who struggle to, sell their writing skills are often not convinced of what they can deliver to the company. I mean, I know because that's also the feelings that I had when I started, getting into touch with these things. But as you said, if you can deliver these results, these are numbers that companies would probably pay way more if they would do it in-house and if they would train somebody to get the skills in SEO, in writing, and then probably also, understanding Medium as a platform. So as long as you're convinced of your skills and you can deliver these metrics, and I guess that's a really great idea. Actually, I've never done that. I include lots of links also backlinking to my own stuff and backlinking to my own landing pages, but I never tracked it on Bitly. So that might be something that I will start doing as well.
You're right about the mindset though. You're right about confidence because, okay, you have to have a good portfolio. You build your portfolio, your articles are getting hits. You already have a following on Medium. So you can like practically guarantee some eyeballs there, right? People paying for eyeballs. That's already in your advantage, plus your writing's great. I would build a portfolio that tracked certain links getting a certain amount of traffic, and then you'd have a good portfolio. And then you can confidently walk up to somebody and say, yes, this article is going to cost you $1,500 to start.
Yeah, and okay. That's really cool because, you just get paid for the value of your work, and it's super valuable for companies.
Yeah.
Particularly, as you mentioned, if you have companies selling digital products because they have, no cost if somebody subscribes for their course or buys the course, they basically have the whole amount of profit, and it's crazy how much value you can deliver through one post, as you mentioned.
Well, you know how I came up with $1,000, right? Is that I said, how much is your course? And he goes, it's $1,000. It's like, great, that's how much the article costs.
Yeah.
And he goes like, why? Student. And I go, because I know I can get you at least two buyers.
Yeah.
I end up giving him like 20 within a week. But, you know, it's all, that number is in your head. You could say it's $5,000. Because it's completely arbitrary. It's like whatever you're comfortable with commanding. Because there's like this upper echelon, 0.01%. And they don't even do an article unless it starts at $10,000. And I was like, mind blown. And then you read that article and you're like, man, I think I could have written that. Go ahead and look at my work. Everybody who's like watching or sees this later, Google me. Look at that swing trading article. Look at my meditation article. You can write that. It does not take a college degree. So if I'm making this kind of money with my really cruddy writing out there, and you're much better, I mean, that should give you some sort of inspiration.
I have to say,
I'm not about to win any writing awards, but I get my clients' results. That's what they pay for. You just have to know the system. And then that's the system I teach in my course.
Yeah. And I will put the link, so your links in the chat, and I will also put the links down at the replay. So anybody who is interested in diving deeper into these topics, everybody who already has the confidence to charge customers, you are, in my opinion, the perfect go-to person to dive deeper. And so I'm super glad to having learned all these insights from you. So thank you for sharing. That's so absolutely valuable. And I guess a huge part of what you're sharing is a mindset topic. Because as you said, you know, we are so good at belittling ourselves and thinking, oh, can I really charge, you know, $1,000 for one post if I'm just making $10 on Medium for a post? That's a huge point. So just, you know, knowing your worth and knowing the worth of your work and going out there and probably also like, just like you did it, you know, finding customers that fit yourself and also your core values, because that's how you deliver the best work probably.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You said it right. The beauty of what like you teach, you're writing on Medium, people can work on their chops. They can work on their skill set while they're on Medium. If they get curated enough times, they're basically saying you're a pretty good writer. So you're ready to take the next step, rank your articles or learn how I do it commercially, and start charging $1,000. So, you know, I'm getting income from Medium. I'm getting income from affiliates. I'm getting income from clients. I'm getting income from course. Like, there's multiple streams of writing income that you should be bringing in. I teach all that. But, like, you should not just have, like, one, is what I'm saying. Because you don't know where the market's kind of going, exactly, right? Medium might, one day, might say, no more of these brand journalism articles on. I don't think they'll do that. But, you know, you have to have, like, multiple streams of income. Yeah. And I think like you kind of build your skill set up in just like kind of focus on really getting your Medium writing up to par, like listening to what you're saying to these students. And then you'll have that confidence. And when you talk to clients, you have the portfolio to back it up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's really about, is, you know, having that people kind of, I had it too. I called it low writer self-esteem. I had that. Because I always wrote academically, and we all know that writing on the internet is 100% different. Like, you can have fragments, you can do all, you know, one line paragraphs. Like, it was really hard to write non-academically in this wall of text, right? It's a lot easier to write for the internet than it is writing for a college course. So that's why I said, if you ever taken a college writing course and you loved it and you got an A in it or a B in it, what I do would be a piece of cake for you. Total piece of cake. So I hope that gives you some ideas and like confidence to kind of do that and boldly command these prices, because there's no such thing as a starving writer in this household. You know, we don't think that way.
Yeah, that's also what I believe. So I believe there's a lot there's so much demand for great writing. And
for what I do, you can have armies of people, and there would not be be enough of us.
But that's the thing, you know, people are always, it's much easier to complain why your piece didn't got curated or accepted in a publication. But you know, getting out there, reaching out to brands, delivering great work, tracking your numbers. That's a bit more work, but it surely pays off. And from my perspective as a beginner also in that area, it's also super fun. So I so far totally enjoy the process of getting in touch with brands, companies, figuring out what the story might be that I can share.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, just expanding that range of writing income streams. So that's super fun. And it's, I guess, a great message to sum it up, to just have the courage and confidence to get out there and charge these premium prices if your work is worth it. And
absolutely,
then always keep improving, keep learning from those who already made it in that area. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you would want to mention? Anything you want to leave the viewers with?
I think I kind of said it all. Just to keep like improving that craft and listening to you, like with your Medium techniques, they work. I followed you for quite a while, and I've used some of your templates and whatnot, and it works. And improve that writer confidence and just keep writing, because whilst you're doing that, you're kind of learning who you are as a writer. Yeah. And absolutely, where you can add value. So I am super deeply niched in my style of writing. I'll only write for e-commerce or online course companies in the field of education. Okay. I was a public educator. I come from education. That is my unfair advantage. You go against me, you're not going to win, right? I was a state representative for vocational education in my state. So you're not, I have all the credential you need. I just didn't know how to transfer that kind of weird label that's useless in most cases to a commercially valuable thing, right? I knew I can write a little bit. I have this background in education. I've held these interesting roles. I didn't know how to make all that into like this thing that I can charge people for. And then I was like, man, I should really seek out these online training companies, education companies, and write long form content for them. It was like a eureka moment. And they would want me to write it because I have that experience. Whoever you are, you're going to bring your unique experience and past job roles to the table, and you're going to have an unfair advantage over somebody else. The only thing missing is that skill set of writing and in the way you kind of reach out and market to people and get in touch with them and the strategies or whatever, because they don't know that you exist yet. Once you have that, you're going to be a six-figure freelance writer. I mean, that's it. So yeah, Hopefully like this kind of opened your mind to what's possible, because I hate to see a starving writer, because there's so much talent out there and they just don't know what to do with it. Yeah. And I was in that same place.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess the best news is that there are, exact strategies on how to make this work. So you are teaching how that works and you are guiding your students step by step. And it's not something that you have to invent. You just have to follow the footsteps of those who already make it work. It's absolutely the same with Medium, and it's the same in your field. So that's actually a blessing to have people who are already succeeding in doing that so that you can do what they are doing.
Absolutely.
That's a great point. I think that everybody should remind themselves when they start losing confidence and asking themselves whether it can really work for them or not, because it obviously works. You just have to follow the guidelines and the strategies of those who make it work.
Yeah. If your readers are ever having like low writer self-esteem, tell them to ring me up and I'll show them the 30 decline letters from the magazines that I got.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I'm still here. I'm still standing, and I should be in a heap of shame, but I'm not.
No.
But I thank you so much for having me on. I love the community you created on Medium. I love your articles.
You.
I'm so grateful for it. But thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining. I'm super grateful for all the value you delivered. And I'm sure that everyone who is going to watch later on will also find immense value here. So thank you for your openness and sharing the numbers also, because that's something that's also super valuable for beginners, to talk about numbers. And that's super valuable to have that shared by someone like you who is really into it. So thanks for taking time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
And all the best for the rest of your journey. All the best on several 5K articles you will probably write during the next weeks and months.
Okay, thank you.
And I will also link back to your Facebook profile or LinkedIn, whatever you prefer, so that people can reach out if they have questions to your programs.
Yeah, they can go to writingincomeaccelerator.com if they want to learn more about me. Writing Income Accelerator. That's okay. Like the home site. But thanks everyone that has watched this. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.